medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at, well, actually, I was the manager of business applications at Brightview. But with me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Fallhout Cooper, still the vice president of JD Edwards product development at Oracle.
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm still there, but apparently there's changes in the air with you. What do you mean you were the application manager or manager of business applications at Brightview? What's going on?
Well, you know, it's really nice to have my voice back. I'm trying to get back running.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, we got the whole blog last week, and you can try to change the subject on me, but at the end of the day, people are obviously going to pick up on the fact that you're no longer at Brightview then.
You are correct. I am no longer at Brightview. I have accepted a new role as a business solutions lead. So I now have a new title that I can stumble over. Actually, at Colas on their IS support team.
Oh, very nice. Well, yeah. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to new challenges and new opportunities and learning a little bit of a new industry. I haven't spent much time in the construction industry, so kind of excited about that. So they're the worldwide leader in transportation, infrastructure, construction, and maintenance. So Okay. Kind of cool stuff.
Yay. So there, you taking a little time off in between to get your running back in shape, or what are you doing?
I am. I'm actually just taking a week off between jobs. So I'm currently, I guess, unemployed right now, which is, you know, lovely.
Okay. So you have plenty of time to work on that running thing.
About a week to really get my last long run in before I can taper already for my marathon. So not ideal to catch COVID when I caught COVID, but nothing I can do about it. And today's run wasn't that pretty, but oh well, that's okay. There's going to be days like that as I'm working back into it. So hopefully next weekend, I can at least get one 20-mile run in before this marathon. I was hoping to have two, but that wasn't in the cards.
I guess that's the way it goes. You got to do what you got to do, but you're still following through with the marathon, which I'm sure everybody's happy to hear. And
I'm
forward to see what your experience is like. Clearly not racing this one, but just running it.
Nope.
And, you know, it's the 50th anniversary of the Marine Corps Marathon. So it is a significant milestone for a marathon. And, you know, it'll be hopefully a fun experience.
Yeah, I hope so. I figured, you know, I turned 50 this year. So did it. I thought it was a perfect reason to sign up for it. But I was hoping to be able to race this one, but I don't think that's probably a wise idea, considering I had a full 2 weeks off of running and was quite ill for 1 week of that 2 weeks, and then just haven't bounced back. So trying to be patient. It's not my skill set, especially when I have a marathon on the docket. But oh well, it's good for me to learn. And learn to be patient, I guess, and give myself grace. So,
yeah, I mean, dealing with adversity, obviously a challenge. You have a lot of experience with marathoning. So if this was your first, you probably wouldn't be following through with it. But, you know, given your experience and how much you've trained this past year, I mean, you can lean on that experience and lean on just the base that you had built to be able to follow through. Not all of us could have done that. So I appreciate that it's challenging.
Yeah. So enough about me. What's happening with you this week?
Oh, well, you know, really important stuff. You know, I'm currently first place in my football pick'em pool that I'm in. And there's a lot of people in this pool. So it's not like I'm one of like two or one of 10. There's quite a few. So, you know, it turns out I discovered a secret weapon called FL.
FL. Is that some sort of website that I haven't heard of that helps with football? football league picks, or are you just freaking lucky?
Freaking lucky. Yeah. Well, I am freaking lucky because FL is Florida. I have a connection, a Florida connection. So you're playing coy, obviously, but for our listeners out there, Chandra has started to advise me on my pick'em pool picks each week. And wouldn't you know that I go from zero to hero and I'm currently in first place. So we're having fun with this. I didn't know, but she's apparently a savant when it comes to picking NFL football games. So this year's pretty much in the bag.
Maybe FL is just freaking lucky. Maybe I'm just freaking lucky. I don't know. You were like, come on, come help me with this. It'll be fun. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. I got lucky. Yeah, freaking well, lucky, I'm telling you.
That's been a couple. I know it's still early in the season. We're only going into what, week five, but you know.
I know. Now you've
been helping out. You've been helping out for a couple weeks and it's proven pretty good. So I'm feeling pretty confident.
Now I'm feeling the pressure.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Oh, gosh. Goodness. Now you're going to overthink it. Never mind. I just totally jinxed it.
I know. You did.
Bubble
That's
burst.
On you.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, let's move into what we're actually here to talk about this week. One of the things you mentioned in your keynote was UX1. And kind of as I looked around the room, when John Vaughn was up there and asked how many people were new to the InFocus conference, and as I attended various sessions, how many people that were really actually new to the ecosystem, I kind of brought this up to you and I said, you know, it might be a good idea for us to talk a little bit about UX1. I feel like it's maybe one of those areas that not a lot of people have really adopted. But I know it's some pretty cool stuff, and I think it would help us really hone in on using and making your JDE look like 2025 and not 2005.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I UX1 came out many years ago, pre-COVID. We invested quite a bit of time and effort looking at and exploring new user experience paradigms, because we understood the importance of UX, right? We have to have our acronyms, right? So user experience UX, you know, we know that it's incredibly important, especially when it comes to how people view the product. So recently I've been in many conversations where the sentiment has been, you're really outdated, your applications are outdated, your the old navigation paradigm's outdated, the look and feel of E1 is outdated. In each one of those conversations, when I ask about stuff like UX1 and whether or not they're using E1 pages, you know, what is their navigation paradigm? Are they using, say, Cafe One to create composite applications? What are they leveraging? Because, you know, we put this entire, we used to call it a citizen developer toolkit out there for everybody to really tailor that user experience to their needs, rather than, of course, us trying to do 150 different versions of Sales or Entity for each purpose-built task. So if people are taking advantage of that stuff and it's still the same user experience that you had in 2010 or 2005 or 2015, whatever year it is that you started using JD Edwards, well, yeah, you're probably right. It does look outdated. And as I was saying, we invested quite a bit of time in trying to figure out a new paradigm, because we understand that we want to simplify tasks as much as possible. We want to improve not just the intuitiveness of what people do, but their effectiveness and how they do it, right? It improves the overall quality of the work that they do, which improves their overall satisfaction, right? And at the end of the day, it's also a lot easier to get buy-in on certain things when you have a strong user experience.
That's absolutely true. It's much easier to get the buy-in when you have a good vision.
When you have a good vision.
Yeah.
So when we're looking for that paradigm shift, that's where we came up with, and you heard me mention it in the roadmap session, this Alert Analyze Act, or AAA, as we call it. And the idea being that we wanted to facilitate the day in the life of a role, of a persona, so that they could manage by exception. So rather than having to hunt and pack through our system for the problems that they need to address, why don't we surface those directly for them, give them the visibility they need to understand what's happening and what's at risk, where their risk lies, and then, of course, tailor their navigation to allow them to jump right in and take the specific action they need to take to mitigate or just get their day-to-day job done. But again, UX One and our UX vision was much broader than that. But for today, we'll focus on more of the personalized pages, persona-based pages, role-based pages. But just know that things like personalization and configuration over customization and your control over your user experience, I mean, that's under the UX One umbrella.
Interested in learning how other JDE customers are driving success in their organizations? Join one or more of the JD Edwards Special Interest Groups, or SIGs, for informal conversation and community.
Bring your questions, find answers, build your JDE network, share and prioritize product ideas, and help influence product roadmap. To sign up, visit questoraclecommunity.org/groups.
You know, to me, the Alert Analyze Act is like your precursor to AI.
Oh, really?
Well, it seems like so many people focus on having AI or ML to help them identify issues in their system. And people are like, well, JD Edwards doesn't have AI built in, so it's a problem. No, it's really not. You have tools already in your software that can allow you to alert, analyze, and act. Mm-hmm. To me, if you don't know those patterns first, how can you use the AI to solve the problem?
I think you're 100% right. I mean, I think that's very, very accurate. And, you know, the vision behind UX One didn't stop with us just delivering these pages that facilitated the day in life. Our expectation was we were going to automate. There was another A there that was behind the scenes that if we can pick up on the pattern of what do you need to be alerted to, what do you analyze to make your decision, and then what decision do you make, what action do you take, we could effectively automate that over time once we understand the frequency, right? We could automate that. And now with AI, we're at a point where you can now couple another A, of course, couple AI with these role-based landing pages. And really, if you're looking for use cases, like where should I apply this? You can look at one of these landing pages, see the exceptions that they deal with on a daily basis, and figure out how to leverage AI to either accelerate another A. Geez, I'm stuck on A today. You know, accelerate identification of the problem, accelerate the analysis of the problem, accelerate the action that needs to be taken to mitigate the problem, right? So you can use AI to effectively enhance and supercharge UX One. And that would be a great place to kind of start. And to be fair, where are we looking when we're trying to identify use cases? We've got over 50 role-based pages that we delivered, right? There's a lot of use cases behind those pages that we could truly automate using AI. So for those that don't know what UX One really is, it's 50 plus role-based pages that we delivered out of the box, centered around, as I said, this user experience paradigm of alert, analyze, act. And it's really meant to surface everything that you need to deal with the exceptions and to do what you need to do in the day in the life. And it's probably easiest to talk about an example, like pick a persona or something like that as we walk through this. But it's important to know that everything was truly persona driven, right? We picked a role, we defined a role, for instance, a maintenance manager. And what do they do on a daily basis? Or where do they work? How are they measured? Who do they collaborate with? That sort of things. We kind of took a holistic view of each persona and tried to tailor a set of watch lists and a set of analytics and a set of menu items, you know, applications that they would need to accomplish that day in a life. For instance, I think if we look at that maintenance manager, what do they monitor for, right? What do they want alerts around? Probably schedule compliance, right? Maybe they want to keep an eye out for critical equipment. Something that, you know, if it goes down, any downtime
that stops your business, you're in downtime then.
Right. And these days, of course, we've got the notification framework on top of it, which means you don't have to be in E1 to necessarily know when those things occur, which is even better. But then you're going to have to review and approve certain things, right? So maybe your work orders, maybe your purchase order requisitions, I don't know, time cards, something like that, right?
You gotta pay your people.
Well, of course. And then other things that you want to analyze. Costs, whether it be your work order or your equipment costs. What about, as you said, critical downtime is one thing, but just how about just equipment failures over time? Wouldn't you want to maybe trend that sort of stuff and be aware of patterns that are maybe coming out of that, right?
Right. Absolutely. If I know this particular bushing or bearing is going to wear out after so many hours, why don't I just preventively replace it or do whatever necessary maintenance would be required to prevent it from failing?
Exactly. So that gets into the act, right? You want to perform some sort of issue resolution where needed. So if we just take that maintenance manager a little bit further, we delivered several different landing pages looking through that whole role, because what we just described there is a pretty broad scope. So it's really hard to get all of that in one page. So if you break it down into categories, maybe you've got maintenance team work orders. Maybe you've got schedule. Maybe there's reliability. Maybe there's cost. Maybe there's approvals and staff utilization, right? So you can see where all of those are activities that a maintenance manager would be responsible for. And so we created pages around each one of those to facilitate that activity. So if you don't mind, I'll just pull up the maintenance manager and we'll just walk through it real quick. For instance, if we look at something like staff utilization, we actually created a Gantt chart. So we converted, hey, we're out of the grids, right? The standard Elon grids, right? Everybody's was like, oh, your UI looks so outdated. And I'm like, well, have you seen our visual bomb? Have you seen our Gantt charts that we use for, in this case, staff utilization? Very intuitive, very easy to understand how your staff is deployed, so to speak, and who's available. So again, we went beyond just those pages. We actually then started modifying the applications and used visualizations behind the applications, converted some of them to flow diagrams, to maps, to Gantt charts, to other things to try to make that activity that you're launching from off the page even easier to do. So schedule performance, maybe another one, reliability, cost performance, you can drill in. Maybe you're worried about something like rental item availability. You know, I heard this the other day from one of our customers, and it's like, we've got a calendar out there that allows you to understand when your equipment is on contract, when it's on reservation, when it's available. It's not just stuck in a grid. It's very visual and intuitive. So again, I think you look at these pages and it's very easy to see what we were trying to accomplish, right? Where we raise the alerts, we give you analytics for you to be able to look at and do your analysis and dig into to try to figure out root cause. And then we obviously try to connect you directly with the actions that you would most likely want to take. And then we try to make those applications even more useful by using visualizations, whether it be an employee org chart, a property map, Cafe One, you name it, to try to, again, facilitate that day in the life. Sorry, I just went on a big long rant there.
That's okay. It's very educational. And I don't think this is one of those things that was as widely adopted as it should have been. I can speak from my own experience in the organizations I've worked for. And maybe what I think people struggled with is, okay, you have this developed for certain roles, but your roles may not align with my roles. So can I do UX1 if I have different roles that I want to use instead? Maybe I have an AP manager, that's great, but maybe I have like a shared services person at my company. So they oversee both AP and AR. Is there a way I can maybe combine what you've published, or can I build my own?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the simple answer is yes. What I think people don't also realize, one, maybe they're just not aware of UX1 and these role-based pages. But what they don't realize is, again, like we do with a lot of products that we deliver with Enterprise One, you know, we deliver you examples. We deliver you a quick start kit, if you will. And in this particular case, yeah, we delivered 50 plus role-based landing pages, but all the components that are involved in assembling those pages are just UDOs. They're user-defined objects that you can use however you want to use them. So these are nothing but composite pages with a watchlist pane on the left, a springboard on the right, and a set of JET analytics in the middle. Hey, guess what? Maybe you don't like our JET analytics. Maybe you want to develop your own. Or in your case, maybe you want to go to the accounts payable page and look at what's available and say, okay, I don't need these 5 watch lists. I just need these 2 watch lists. And you go over to the accounts receivable page and say, well, I need these other 3. Okay, well, I'm going to create my own page and I'm going to put those 5 specific watch lists on that page for this shared services manager. I'm going to go look at those analytics the same way and I'm going to cherry pick what analytics and I'm going to assemble them and configure my own page for my own persona. Absolutely, you can do that. That was the vision behind this, was these are all plug and play. These are all Legos that you can use however you wish. You can arrange them however you wish. So
if I want the springboard on the top, or if I want the springboard over here, I can do that too.
Oh, absolutely. You can open up any of these and adjust the layout however you see fit. And again, they're user-defined objects. So it's not like you're doing customization in this particular case. You can create your own pages, lay them out however you see fit, combining, I don't know, you could combine your field manager with your maintenance manager. I mean, whatever makes sense for you, go do it. But the point is you've got well over 1,000 different components, whether it be in the form of a composite page, a query, a watch list, a Cafe One layout, a grid format. I mean, actually, there's probably over about 2,000 at this point, different UDOs that we've delivered as Legos for you to basically facilitate the day in the life of your own personas. So that was a really long yes. I apologize.
All good. I appreciate the additional color and commentary on it because, again, I feel like this is one of those underutilized areas of the software that really could make the user experience so much better, especially for those users that maybe don't spend as much time in E1 and our traditional, let's navigate the tree, or maybe, yeah, we have some E1 pages, but it's still, for me, a picture always speaks loud, right? So for me to see a graph or a visual representation of data can really help me understand. Yes. So I applaud you for this creative solution. I think it's awesome. And to know that there's so much of it there, when you say over 2,000 UDOs that have probably been delivered, that's a lot of UDOs. I know when Gail Larson from Brightview and I presented on Cafe One's, the first time we did that, I think it was at Blueprint 2023. People were floored to hear that there were so many that were out of the box delivered.
Out of the box.
Yeah, that we really didn't have to spend much time configuring. There were a couple we did to configure a little bit better for our users. But for the most part, we could just kind of plug and play. We had to do our usual testing and our test scripts and submit them and then move them into production and assign the security. Well, we didn't have to move them into production, but we did promote our objects up and do it the right way, of course. There was a promotion to production just to make sure we could apply the security and we were good to go.
Well, to your point about leveraging what's out there, right? And viewing what's out there and how to take advantage of it. I mean, if you go to Learn JDE and you go to the UX1 page on Learn JDE, which of course we'll link in our show notes. I mean, under the use column, there is personalizing JDE Average Enterprise 1 UX1 pages. That answers your question there. How can I personalize these? We've got basically an OBE that will, Oracle by example, that will walk you through exactly how to do that. There's things like modifying and creating UX1 pages just themselves. I mean, how exactly do you put one of these pages together? How do you modify the alert plane? So we take you through exactly how to manipulate these components and make them yours. And we do it at a level that again, we were looking at the citizen developers. So we're not looking at, hey, you need this computer science engineer to do this. You don't need a degree in computer science to do this. This is for your business analysts. This is for your power users. I mean, in some cases, it's for anybody. I mean, this stuff is pretty intuitive, pretty simple to understand, to be able to really configure it the way that you need it configured. So again, we'll put a link to the page. There's so many resources on this. Another thing is success stories. I mean, you and I were in prep for this session. I had brought this up and you keyed in on, well, who are the success stories? And there are lists of customers out there that have actually implemented this and success stories behind that that you can go read.
It's very cool. Yes, I'm glad that you shared the Learn JDE option for where to learn more about this, because I think there is a lot of information on that Learn JDE site that's related to it that's very helpful to walk you through how to get this implemented in your system.
How to get it in, yeah. So one thing we probably skipped over there, and I apologize because I'm like, oh, we got 52 plus, whatever it is, 50 plus role-based pages. We probably didn't throw out too many examples other than the maintenance manager. I think you said AP manager, AR manager. I mean, we went across our modules here from asset manager, field service manager, inventory accounting manager, HR manager, maintenance. What about payroll? What about manufacturing? What about procurement? Grower management, wine. I mean, even blend management, we have role-based pages specifically for those modules. So we literally went through each and every module that we had, picked out the personas that we thought mattered most, and created dedicated pages for them. But again, that just serves as a starting point for you. Because I don't know, I just wanted to put that out there because it helps give context to what we mean as far as those personas.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your education on it so that hopefully we can maybe inspire some of our community to go adopt some of these, go implement them, and then let us know. Let us know what they did. I'm always curious. I love to know what people do and how they do it and what their thought process is. In terms of me, I could see myself sitting down with various business owners at my employer, to be employer, just to understand, you know, if they don't have these implemented, maybe there's something I can do to make their jobs easier. That's what brings me joy in life is helping people and making their jobs easier. So I could see how this would be a big benefit.
Well, and again, we deliver those roles out of the box. So all the security that goes along with all those components is something that's delivered to you. So if you're on a release that has these things, then it's probably pretty easy to go into DV and pull these up. If you're not, you can always get a trial edition up in OCI that you want to play around with for 30 days. And you can start to poke around these different personas and look at these different pages. Maybe that helps you build a case for an upgrade. I mean, again, I go back to, if your leadership or your user base says, look, E1 is legacy, Enterprise One is legacy, first thing I would look at is, well, what's the actual user experience? Have you updated it in the past 10 years? Because if you're not leveraging what we're putting out there, then yeah, I would agree. It probably looks pretty outdated, but there's quite a bit of resources out there at your disposal to change that and modernize the look and feel of E1.
Very cool.
All right. So what are we doing for a Midwesternism today?
Oh, my favorite. I think there's just so many Midwesternisms that I know I even forget some of them until I hear them dropped somewhere, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that in a while.
So what's one that you haven't heard in a while?
Till the cows come home.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Till the cows come home.
So in other words, a very long time. Unless, of course, you have a herding dog that brings them in for you.
Well, yeah, that would change that.
Right. I wonder if my dog could do that naturally or if we'd have to work on that a little. But that's beside the point. Yeah. So this week, you know, another colloquialism that I've heard that I heard, I don't remember where I heard it this week, but somebody said, well, till the cows come home. And I was like, oh, well, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, when are you going to get your E1 upgrade? Or how long are you going to be working on the E1 upgrade? Until the cows come home? Is that what you're saying?
Until the cows come home. Yeah, until the cows come home. We hope that's not.
How long are you going to be working on those football picks?
Till the cows come home. I don't know. It doesn't take me that long. Just kidding.
Yeah, as a savant, it shouldn't.
Oh, come on now. I think you're giving me more credit than I should have. I'm going with the whole FL is just freaking lucky. How's that?
All right.
All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.